Amen. Let's take our word, if you don't mind. Let's make our declaration before Him. Amen. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. Amen. Praise God. You may put it down. Amen. I want you to turn, and you might say, oh, we're going to continue from the last few weeks because I feel compelled to do so. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. As far as I know of, everyone in here, I think, has been saved and given their hearts to the Lord. And I know from that period of time, I'm talking about your spiritual salvation, we've been on a journey or a walk or a race with God. And He has taken care of us. But sometimes we can get our eyes off of the prize. And that prize is to serve Him till either we die or He comes back for us. That's what we do. We were born in the flesh, whatever birthday we have in the flesh, whatever that is. But now we have a spiritual birthday where God came in and we called upon Him or upon the Lord, and the Lord saved our soul. We gave our life to Him and we said, from this day forward, I will serve You to the best of my ability. I will serve You to the best that I can. I will honor You in my life. I will honor You the way I live. I will honor You in my decisions that I make. I will honor You in my giving. And I'm not just talking about money, in giving of our love, our patience, our kindness towards one another. And in doing that, God the Holy Spirit comes and abides in us. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit or God Himself would, or the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, would abide in sanctuaries. That was in the Old Testament, and even into the New Testament, the first few books of the Bible, the Synoptic Gospels, it's called. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that's the Synoptic Gospels, it's called. But after Jesus died on the cross, it says that the curtain was ripped open. A huge curtain that was 15 to 16, 17 feet tall, that was at least 6 inches thick, that separated the most holy of holies, where God was, to the holy place. Then they had the outer courts. And that was ripped from the bottom, the bottom to the top. That's unusual. The bottom to the top. Ripped. And what that symbolized was that God was saying, I will no longer be in a tabernacle made by man, but I will be in tabernacles that are of human flesh. Amen. My God. Amen. That He appointed unto us to live in us. So look, when you got saved, when I got saved, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When we got saved, when we accepted Christ, Christ Almighty, the third person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the third person, came and abides in us and lives in us from that day forward. And He said this, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. We may leave Him and we may forsake Him. And we may turn our back on Him, but God in His word, because when God gives a promise, He holds to His promise and He will fulfill what the word says. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That doesn't mean we don't feel like it sometimes, huh? Okay? But we don't live by feelings. We live by faith in the Son of God, in who He is and what He has done at Calvary's cross. So even through our difficult times, even through the worst of times, we know that God is still with us because His Word says so. And what His Word says, we can count on. What His Word says, we can bank on it, that it is true, that it will happen and it will come about. My God, thank You, Lord. We got saved. We started on this journey. Let me tell you, we need to know who God is. Because I tell you, if we don't know who God is, we may have Him in us, and that's, we need Him in us. But we need to know who God is. Because difficult times will come. Personally, difficult times will come to our communities. Difficult times will come to our families. Difficult times may come to churches. But to know that God is in control, that God will make things happen according to His plan. And a lot of times we know, according to Job, that God is in control no matter what. Even when difficult times come and we don't understand it, we can still trust in Him. Trust in the Lord. With all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You get up from your bed, let that scripture flow through your mind, flow through your spirit. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Financial problems, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Separation, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Difficult with family members, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Because God is in control of your life and my life. Because we have given it to Him. We learned a couple of weeks ago, Romans 15:5. Pull that scripture up, Romans 15:5. You might say, Pastor, why do you keep going over this? Because the Spirit of the Lord keeps saying, press on it, press on it, press on it. So that we know who God is. Look at this. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus. We start on that journey. We realized a couple of weeks ago. We start on our journey and hey, things will come. But our God is a God of patience with us. Thank God. Thank God. He's patient towards us. Sometimes we do things or we say things that are maybe not the best. Doesn't help us that much. But God, in our walk with Christ, remember it's a walk, or if you want to put a race, as it says, or if you want to put a journey with Him, that He is a God that is next to us, that is working patiently in us. Patiently doing the things that need to be done in our hearts. Because you see, He cares for us so much. Yes. He patiently just works and moves within us, helping us through the difficult times, helping us when the arrows of the enemy come our way, trying to destroy the men and the women of the family, trying to break up families. That's what the enemy wants to do, destroy the nuclear family so that he can have the community. We got to stand strong and say, Lord, keep working patiently in my heart and life. I may not understand it. And let me tell you, sometimes it gets hard. Life is hard at times. Life is difficult at times. Life is great at times. Life is good at times. You go from valley to valley, hilltop to hilltop. But He works patiently because your God is the God of patience. Oh my God. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Thank God. He's so patient towards us. We also should be patient with one another. And I'm talking about people that really want to change, that really want to do what is right. I'm not talking about somebody that could care less and don't want to do. Get out. Go, yeah. Go. But He's patient with us. Let us be patient with others. And he's the God on our journey of patience, and he's the God of consolation. He consoles us in our difficult times. He consoles us when we don't know what to do. He consoles us when things are out of control and we cry on our pillow because we don't know what to do. Or we sleep on the sofa and we cry because we say, Lord, I don't know what to do about my family. I don't know what to do about my wife or my husband or my children or whatever situations. But we have to realize this. We receive Christ. And he will never abandon us. Get that in your spirit. God, and when I say God, I'm talking about the Godhead, okay? Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, will never abandon his people. Look, if he had the right to abandon a certain group of people, would be the Israelites. Probably all of us, but I mean, he had the right. But I mean, you look and you read, because it's all printed in paper here, about how they just became stiff-necked and would not turn to him. And then they would repent and God would pour out his spirit and his blessings upon them. Then they would turn from him and they would serve a golden calf instead of the King of Kings and the Lord. I mean, just constantly, constant. But he's patient with us, patient with them, patient with us, and consoles us. As it says in Romans 15:5. Also it says, as we learned last week, that God is a God of love. Remember that. Remember it. Now, that doesn't mean he wants everything and is allowing everything. It's according to his word. He loves us enough to give us barriers so that we know we shouldn't go over to that side or we shouldn't go over to that side. There are certain regulations, certain things we should do or not do. Because of the word of God. That's his direction. That's his map for us. He's the God of love. 1 John 4:8, I think it is. Can you bring that up? We need to make sure we get that in our... We need to know it. 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So here we see. We started out on our journey, whatever date that was. Thank God. We're guaranteed heaven. And wherever Jesus is and the Godhead, that is heaven. Wherever he is. In the heaven, you know, we think of heaven up there. One day it will be upon the earth one day. In heaven. That our destiny is to be with him. And we got saved. You might say, well, can I lose it? You can read in scripture, there's possibilities. You might say, well, that's if you really deny him, don't want to serve him, you know, whatever else, you know. But that's far and few between, I think. But on our journey, we've been rest assured we got salvation. Don't ever let the devil tell you that you won't make it to heaven. That's another ploy of the enemy. We have the guarantee. Amen. Without a shadow of a doubt, without any inkling in our hearts and minds, that once we gave our hearts to him, we're serving him to the best of our ability, we're doing everything we know to do according to the word of God. Salvation is been given unto us because we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that heaven is our home. When he comes for us or when we die, guaranteed by the Holy Scriptures, guaranteed by the Godhead. We start in that journey. It's patience he has towards us. You can say, Lord, thank you for your patience. God, thank you for your consolation, because he's a God of patience, God of consolation. And we know this from Scripture. Go to verse 16 of that same chapter, that he is the God of love again, it says in verse 16. Because it is written, verse 4:16. 1 John 4:16, I think it is. There's 8 and then there's 16. Well, anyway, it talks about God is love. Oh, got it. Thank y'all. Good job, guys. Good job. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. We have known and we believe. Oh, that's big. The love that God has to us. God is love. And we hear that God is love. But on your journey, remember that. On your walk with him, remember he's love. Remember when you're sick and you feel like you might die. that God loves you. Remember when maybe some acquaintances that you once knew have gone other places and you don't see them anymore. God is still love. Remember when you're going through a difficult time that God is still love. Remember, no matter what we go through, he's a God of patience, because the word says so. He's a God of consolation. He consoles us, and he's a God of love towards us. Praise God Almighty. My God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we can stay on that journey. No matter what times we may fall on our knees before God saying, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand, Lord, that we can know when we look up that he is the God that is before us, that is holy and pure and mighty is he. Hallelujah. Praise God Almighty. Hallelujah. There's something else, though. Let me get the scripture. It says this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, it says this. It says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So here we see he's a God of patience, consolation. He's a God of love. But also he's a God that is holy. Holy is he. And it says in scripture, it says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And it's an amazing thing. We know God lives in us. He's requiring from the scripture for us to be holy. And the first thing we think of, I know it, because we all come from the religious background of things. When we think of holy, we think of giving up this, giving up that, not doing this, not doing, and all those things might be whatever. And there's nothing, you know, we want God to work in us. But God says, God gives us a command that we can't accomplish. We can't accomplish it. It says he commands us as we're on our walk with him. He's saying, Joe, be ye holy, for I am holy. And I said, okay, Lord, well, I'm going to try to give up this, give up that, and, you know, and whatever the Holy Spirit's work, but that doesn't make me holy. What makes us holy is putting our faith and our trust in what Jesus did at Calvary's cross.
Amen.
He accomplished triumph for humanity. He wants us to be holy like him, but we can only accomplish it as we put our faith in him. Oh, we can have a religious holiness. You know, we can do that. But we know, but a godly holiness is what we desire. You see, we need to be holy, for God is holy. And it takes the Holy Spirit that is already in us to take out those things that are not pleasing to the Lord. And it takes us to humbly go before him. And just for picture op, I guess, kneeling before him, you know, that just means humbling ourselves before him. We can, you know, and I love to kneel before the Lord. I love it because I love it. I think it's something with me, you know. You know, some people say, well, I can't kneel, and that's okay. You know, some people like laying on the floor and going before God. I mean, that, okay, some people like sitting in their lazy boy and going before, hey, look, whatever pleases you, whatever, Nothing wrong with that. Just get before him. Amen. Let God do a mighty work. Let Amen. God's holiness be poured out upon you, that his spirit, his anointing, his power would be in your heart and in your life. So here we see we got a God who is patient, who consoles us, gives us what we need, helps us in times of trouble. We have a God who is love towards us, but also we have a God who is holy and is saying, Job, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And let me tell you this, every time we go before him, from the day we got saved, we gave our lives to him, we are holy before him. You might say, Pastor, you don't know what's in my heart. You don't know what I'm battling. I understand that. But when you gave your heart to the Lord, you gave him everything. You asked him to forgive you. You became holy before him. The enemy will try to tell you you're not. Let me tell you, and on our journey, we got to stay holy before him, going to him, asking him for forgiveness for the things we say sometimes, the things we do, our actions, our words, whatever it is. Whatever the Holy Spirit convicts you of, when you're convicted, don't wait. Don't wait. I don't care if you say it in your mind because you're around a lot of people. You just say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. And let me tell you, God, the Holy Spirit, because the blood is powerful. It cleanses the hearts of man. It cleanses the hearts of women. That's how powerful it is. It defeated the enemy at Calvary's cross. And we have won the victory because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus obeyed the Father and gave of his blood for us and his body. Amen. Praise God. Holy is our God. Holy is our God. Walk in your walk as holy before God, saying, Lord, cleanse me. Help me in every way, in every opportunity. We receive that third person of the Trinity that lives in our hearts. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, I'll just mention it. Well, you can bring it up. It says, the Holy Spirit is the seal that God has placed upon our lives. The seal, the approval, the ratification, the seal that has been placed upon every Christian. Look at this. In whom you also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We have been sealed by the Spirit of God. Well, we can get into all kind of stuff in Revelation, but and how they took the mark and blah, 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 with all that stuff. And there's a lot in that. But I tell you what, we don't hear enough that God has sealed his people. Sealed them with the Holy Spirit. My God, there isn't any demon in hell. There isn't any foul spirit. There isn't Lucifer himself that can take you or I out of the hands of Almighty God. He's not strong enough. He doesn't have the ability to do it. Because our God has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you this. God made Lucifer. He is below God. What got him in trouble was that he wanted to be above God. And let me tell you, I've often said this. There's more power in the little pinky of God's finger than all of what Lucifer has. You might say, what is he doing upon the earth? Because God has allowed him to do that. But I tell you what, one day it will stop. It will come to naught. And it will come where the peace of God will reign upon the earth. And the heavens abode will be in Jerusalem, the headquarters. One day. Amen. One day. God Almighty is coming for his church and his people. How holy is our God. How holy is our God. Don't ever let the devil make you think that he is bigger than God. This is what you do. Whenever he comes and he starts meh meh, you get in your word and you go to Revelation and you get in the scripture and you go to the book of Revelation at the end and you quote to him. Y'all like that? Meh meh. That's what he does. That's funny. You get in the book of Revelation and you start quoting back what God says, where he will be and where he will be thrown into the lake of fire. He doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe the word. He didn't believe, but we know the word of God is true. Quote that scripture back to him. Remind him of his destination. Because you know, Lucifer, he's not in hell right now. He's not there. He's roaming the earth, trying to bring anyone and everyone he can. But I tell you what, God has given us the power and the authority to stop him. Oh, hallelujah. God has given you the power and the authority to stop him from messing with your family, from bringing your family to hell, letting God do a mighty work and a mighty miracle because we worship him, praising him and honoring him and asking him to move. Remind him of where he's going. And you know what? You might want to remind yourself sometime of where you're going. Instead of in the mully grubs, huh? Remind yourself that Christ is coming. Remind yourself of the things of heaven. Remind yourself that you're going to walk on streets of gold. Remind yourself that because you've done what God wanted you to do upon this earth, he's going to judge every one of us. There's a horrible judgment for the unjust. We are still going to be judged, not heaven or hell. That's not judgment for us. We made that decision when we received Christ. But he's still going to judge us on the things that he has told us to do, what we're going to do. That's right, the works. We don't work for salvation. We work because we're saved. You see? People work, well, let me do this. Maybe I might get salvation. No. It's free. It's free. Free salvation. Free. We receive it, then we do the things that God, the Holy Spirit, calls us to do. Because each and every one of us has a very important part to play in the kingdom of God and what he wants. Listen to this. Holy is our God this morning, people. The holiness of God distinguishes God as God and reveals how we are not. It communicates his transcendent, that means exceptional, sovereignty. Sovereignty is supreme power. So his exceptional sovereignty or supreme power and flawless purity. Ooh. His overwhelming right to rule and his stainless character. That's how he is. Psalms 145 verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." Or the last part, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and there is no end to his greatness." No end to his greatness. I want you to turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Page 1110. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Look at verse 1, please, starting there. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said," they were crying this out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the post of the door moved at the voice of him who cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone," talking about Isaiah, "because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For in my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he said, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Verse 3. Isaiah, God had called Isaiah. And it says, and one cried unto another and said, verse 3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And we know this because they think, because they said holy, holy, holy three times, that it represents a holy for the Godhead, all three of them. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Because in verse 8 it says, who will go for us? And it's capitalized. That means it's the Godhead. There's more than one. There's God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But you see, he's holy, people. He's a holy God. The seraphims, fiery arrows that they brought there. It never mentions them ever again in Scripture, the seraphims. This is the only place that they brought a coal from off the altar of the Lord. Isaiah was in his walk with the Lord. We are in our walk with him, people. He's holy. As we spend time with him and we get to know him, we need the coal of the fire of the Spirit of God to be placed upon our lips. Now, you know, I know it's the coal there in whatever aspect that is. But we know we have the blood of Jesus that takes away our sin and our evil. He's a holy God and he's looking to clean us up. He placed it upon the coal. He placed the coal upon the lips of Isaiah to bring freedom and liberty and to clean him up. Our God is a great God. See, we got to be careful. I mean, you know, we have to be careful in our lives. We have to live lives that are pleasing unto him. You might say, well, Pastor, what if I've messed up? Hey, look, we've all messed up. And too many times. We're all sinners saved by grace. But there's a place we can go, the altar. And I know that's a symbol, but it can be at home. The altar of the Lord, where we go to him and say, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. Because you see, we're sinners saved by grace. Unmerited favor towards an undeserving people. Undeserving people. But God gives us the grace that we need. And let me tell you, God is wanting to clean us up. Clean us up. Take out those things that need to be taken out. Take out that unforgiveness. Take out that bitterness. Take out that strife. You know, that we're on our walk with him. And I know as we go along, things happen. And we need God to help us. You know, when we think we got over something we did, thank you, Lord, something else happens. And you say, okay, now, Lord, I need a little help here. I need a little time to rest. You know, you don't want to back up. You don't want to back up. You keep going forward. I don't care if you have to fall on your knees. Don't back up, spiritual. Just keep on forward saying, Lord, I don't understand it. And you might feel like you're backing up, but I tell you what, as you submit to God, you're going forward. As you submit to God, you're going forward. And as you submit to him, he'll put the coals of the Holy Spirit upon your lips to change the way we think, to change our attitudes, to get rid of pride and arrogance. God does not like those things in a child of God. Now, I'm not saying not being proud for our children. There's different kinds of pride. But a pride and arrogance where God cannot tell us something or show us, or we think we know more than whatever. God wants to work in us that we submit to him, that we're humble before him, that we love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that the power of God is moving in us, that we're submitting. We're staying on the altar of God and letting him do the surgery that needs to happen. He's a holy God, and he expects his creation to be holy before him. My God, holy before him. Have you ever heard, and I know you've heard, of more Christians drinking than ever before? My God. Of evil in the heart. And you know, I'm a Christian, and you're going, oh my God. I'm not talking about somebody that just got saved. Let me tell you, I have patience. But to be saved for 20 years and you still have some problems like that, come on now. Something's wrong. We need to let God. And hey, look, I will pray, I will believe, I will do whatever I can to help you and I to have successful lives in Christ, because God wants us to be successful. And I understand sometimes there's a snag on inside of each and every one of our hearts that God has to do a mighty work. God has to break. But I tell you what, He can break it, because it was broken at Calvary's cross. It just needs to be manifested in our hearts and in our lives. Praise God. God can accomplish it. God can do it. Amen. And you know what? We can't do it ourselves. The church has tried. I'm talking about the body of Christ has tried. And it has failed miserably. All you got to do is go on your computer and look at all the failures. And I don't gloat in that at all. Let me tell you, because every failure for the Christian, for a Christian, every failure in Christian ministry is a failure for the whole church, the body of Christ. It does not help. And that, and look, I'm talking about failure in every area, failure in every community, failure in every church, failure in, I say, every church community, every religion. Just horrible, horrible. But I tell you what, if we don't keep our faith in Christ, the enemy can do whatever he wants to do. But I tell you what, God has won victory for us. God has given us victory. We just got to stay in the midst of the flowing of the Spirit of God, and letting Him work in us and through us. My God. Look, there's nothing too difficult. I don't know who's going through what, but let me tell you this. There's nothing too difficult that God cannot break the bondage of whatever it is in your heart or my heart that God hasn't won the victory. We got to just place our faith in Him. We're placing our faith in the victor. The victor. Jesus Christ is the victor. He won. He won. Oh, he won over sickness, hell, and the grave. My God. He can win over anything and everything in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. All those things God can break and put in what He desires and wants in us. He's a holy God. Holy is He. Holy is He. Holy is He. Looking to do a mighty work, people. Don't give up on God in any way. Don't give up. Don't give up on God. Stay tuned into Him. Keep reading your word. Keep praying. Keep seeking Him. Keep doing a mighty work. And let me tell you, God will do a mighty work. Last night I was reading over my stuff, and I read this again. And as I was sitting in the study, I tell you, I just felt the presence of the Lord. It's like I'm going, oh, God, priceless, the presence of Almighty God. And I know probably every one of us has, you know, been wherever, maybe listened to a song on the radio about God and you just felt the presence of God. Or you're reading a book, or you're reading your Bible, or you're talking with some friends and you're lifting up Jesus Christ and the presence of God comes into that. It's just awesome. There's nothing that money can't buy it. There's no amount of money that we can give to God that will get us that. What He looks at is our hearts and our humbleness before. Not perfect, because there's none perfect. No, not one. But we all can be humble before Him, saying, Lord, Your will be done in my heart and in my life. Remember what? He's a holy God. Huh? Holy is He. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Watch your heart. Watch what goes in. If somebody says something and it punctures your heart, deal with it quickly. Deal with it quickly. I'm not saying you got to go to them. That's not, no, 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 no. But deal with it between you and God quickly. Let's say, what do I do? You ask God forgiveness. You forgive them, and you're saying, Lord, it's now yours. And you see, you're not letting it take deep root. Because I tell you what, try to uproot an oak tree. You need an army of men and some machinery. But you take a little plant, a little oak tree this high, and it's in the ground, you can take it out yourself. Because it's easy. See, we got to learn to deal with things. Make sure it comes under the blood. That doesn't mean it's solved, but you have decided to give it under the blood. Amen. And keep it there. Because that's the best thing. That's what God wants. Forgiveness, anything like that. God is so patient and kind. Remember this, He's patient. He's patient. He consoles us. He loves us. And He is holy. Holy is He. Praise God. You may stand, please. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Because of it. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for today. We need to pray for a few people. Father, Lord, I just pray for Miss Diana that needs a healing, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord God, for the family member that passed away, that you would be with the family. And you pray, and Lord, I pray for Mr. Sheldon that you would be with him and help him with that back pain, healing to flow in their lives. But I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you'd like to do so and you haven't done so, would you please raise your hand? Amen. Amen. As far as I see, everyone's saved. Let's pray together. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you into my heart and into my life. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Look, don't forget this.